Well, let's open our Bibles to the fourth Psalm, Psalm 4. It's good to see everybody this Lord's Day morning, getting our assemblies started in our 9:30 hour. We are continuing our study of the Psalms. We'll wrap this up in a couple of weeks. I want to take a look at the fourth Psalm. As we get started this morning, let's read through the text of this Psalm, Psalm 4, verses 1 through 8. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me when I was in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous, of righteousness, and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. This psalm appears to have been composed on the same occasion as the preceding psalm, and the heading of Psalm 3 tells us that it was written when David was fleeing from his son Absalom. We read of these events in 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18. We know that that was a time later in David's life when he once again was on the run. Only this time, instead of running from King Saul, he was running from someone who was trying to usurp the throne from him. And what made it especially difficult for David is that he couldn't win either way. Because if the enemy won, that meant David's death. But if David prevailed, that meant his son Absalom would die. And so David is in a no-win situation here. We have noted as we've studied through the Psalms that many of them read like entries into a journal. And that's certainly the case here in the fourth Psalm. If Psalms 3 and 4 are connected, there's an interesting connection between the two. Psalm 3 appears to be a mourning psalm. And I don't mean mourning as of sorrow, but good morning, the day is starting. And Psalm 4 appears to be an evening psalm. If you look at Psalm 3 and at verse 5, I lay down and slept, I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. So here's a psalm about when I awake. But then in Psalm 4, in verse 8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. And so this is a psalm about the end of the day. And of course, that should be true for every child of God. We begin our day with God and we end our day communing with God. And so Psalms 3 and 4 fill both of those times in our daily lives. Psalm 4 is easily divided into three parts. The beginning is David's plea unto God, verses 1 through 3. Verses 4 and 5, where we'll spend the majority of our time, is David giving a list of characteristics that would be true for those who have a troubled heart and how they can find peace. And that's what we're looking at as we study this psalm, peace for a troubled heart. And then the end, verses 6 through 8, is David's joy and peace that he finds with God. Now, one thing we've noticed in our study of the Psalms, and this is true with many of them, the Psalms begin with the psalmist stating his problem. Here's the problem. Lord, here's what is happening. Here's the problem. I need a solution to this problem. And then as the psalm continues, the psalmist is working through this, acknowledging things about God, remembering things about God, and then at the end of the psalm, reaches the conclusion where most of the time, the problem is solved. Now, not in every psalm. As a matter of fact, Psalm 88 is one of the saddest psalms. It is a psalm of lament that offers no resolution and offers no solution to the problem. And Psalm 88 is one of the saddest passages in the Bible. But here in Psalm 4, we have this transition. We have the problem that is stated, and then David works through these matters, and then there is the solution. It begins by David acknowledging that he is in distress. But then in verses 7 and 8, now he's in a state of gladness. You put gladness in my heart. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So as we are looking and realizing that we face trials in our life, that we face times of distress, that we face turmoil, and it's during those times that we long for peace and joy and safety, this psalm gives a prescription for that. And so we can go to this psalm and we can learn from it how we can find peace and safety and joy during times of distress in our lives. So let's look at the beginning. Let's look at David's plea unto God. Verse 1, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Hear me when I call is translated in the English Standard Version, answer me. This isn't David offering up his token, routine, traditional evening prayer, now I lay me down to sleep. No, David's in trouble. He needs some help. And so this is a desperate plea for God's attention. Hear me and answer my prayer. He acknowledges that he's in distress. This word distress is from a Hebrew word that literally means to be pressed into a corner. It means to be constrained. Sometimes we feel like that in life, don't we? Sometimes we feel like we've got problems coming at us from every direction, even from the top, and we feel like we're being pressed into a corner. But that's what David is acknowledging here with this word distress. I'm going through a very pressing time in my life. And Lord, I need relief from that. The word relieved is from a Hebrew word that can be translated, or can be understood as to be set in an open plain. And so it's lost in the English. But in the original Hebrew, with these two terms, you would see them diametrically opposed from each other. David says, I feel boxed in. I feel like I'm caged in. I feel like I'm going through some tight straits. Lord, you can put me in an open field. You can deliver me from this. You can give me relief from all of this. God did that for David. Notice the tense in which it's worded. It's not, I'm in this distress and I need to be relieved. He's acknowledging, you've done this for me in the past. I need you to do it again. God will do the same thing for us. There are many different things that can make us feel like we're pressed in on every side. It can be problems that are going on when we leave and go to work. Maybe there's some issues going on at work that we're struggling with, and it feels like it's got us pressed in. We've got some deadlines. We've got a boss we don't work well with. We've got coworkers trying to get us fired. Whatever it is, we've got some issues there, and we need some relief. Maybe it's at school. Again, maybe it's some deadlines. Maybe it's a bully at school. Maybe it's some problems there. Maybe it's problems as we look at the world and what's going on in the world. Maybe for some, the problem is not when we leave the home, but the problem is when we come back home after the day. And there are problems in the home, and there's problems with the marriage, and there's problems with the family. And that's even worse. And we feel like we're boxed in. We feel like we're pressed in. Well, we're praying to the same God that David prays unto. And David says, you've delivered me in the past. I know you can do it again. And we're serving that same God who is faithful to deliver. One thing that's interesting, I've noticed this as we've begun a new year and we're beginning our Bible reading and we're going through Genesis and then through Exodus. Isn't it interesting that in Genesis, God is presented as the creator? But when you come to Exodus, God is presented as the deliverer. He's the one who delivers. And both of those things remain true about God throughout the rest of the Bible. God is our creator, and God is our liberator. He is our deliverer. He delivered Israel then. He delivered us from our sins, and He'll deliver us from our problems. We need to trust in Him. In verses 2 and 3, David addresses those who were causing him the problems. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? Those who were abandoning David in favor of his son Absalom, they were taking the honor and the glory that belonged to David, and they were giving it to his son, and that resulted in shame for David. How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? If he's saying this about his son Solomon, what a startling thing to say. But it's true. Here, Absalom is trying to usurp the throne from his father David. And the throne rightly belongs to David. Verse 3, but know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. David was the one who was ordained as king. David was the one who was anointed as king, not Absalom. David is the one. And so God will come to David's aid. The Lord will hear when I call to him. David was still in fellowship with God. He might have left Jerusalem. Maybe he was no longer there on the throne as king, but he was still in fellowship with God. And one of the blessings of being in fellowship with God is that we can call out to God and He will answer us and He will hear our prayers. Now, those prayers are answered according to His will, not ours. But we can still call upon the Lord and He will hear us when we call upon Him. Now, I want us to look at verses 4 and 5. We'll spend some time here digging into these verses, and I see the clock, not a whole lot of time left. Let's direct our focus here. David had experience at finding God's peace in a distressing situation. This wasn't the first time David was on the run for his life. This wasn't the first time he had to turn to God in distress. So he's familiar with it. He knew how it worked, and he knew that God would deliver. Those of you who are younger, you need to remember, keep in mind that those of us who are older, we've been through some experiences that you have yet to go through. And so when you begin to go through those experiences, take your cues from those of us who are older. When we say things will be okay, things will work themselves out, take your cues from those who have been there and have learned by experience that God delivers His people. That's where David was. How would David handle this kind of situation? What if we could catch up with David as he is fleeing from his son Absalom, and we could be that annoying reporter that wants to pull him aside and interview him? David, how are you handling this? How are you handling this? Well, there are some things that are set forth here in verses 4 and 5 that show how this is to be handled. Now, there are some who look at Psalm 4 and say that verses 4 and 5, David is addressing his son. David is addressing his enemies and telling them from afar, you need to change, you need to stop pursuing me, this is what you need to be doing. And that may be true. At the same time, these are things that David definitely would have been doing and things that we need to be doing if we are going to find peace and joy during our times of turmoil. The first thing, and this is going to be an interesting point to try to get out of our text, the first thing I would say is we have to stand in awe of God. That is, we have to remember who God is, and we have to keep God in our focus. Now, how do I get that from verse 4 that says, be angry and do not sin? Well, the word be angry is translated from a Hebrew word that's a little difficult to bring into English. The New American Standard Version says to tremble. The New King James Version and English Standard Version both say to be angry. The King James Version says to stand in awe. It means to have an emotional response, but have the right emotional response, and to remember who God is. One of the best tactics that Satan will use is to try to shake us up and get us off point. If we can remember who we are, then we have our stability when we're going through the problems of life. And if we can keep our eyes focused on God, then we will, if I can borrow a phrase from the outdoorsman, we will have true north. We'll know our bearings. We'll know where we're supposed to be. And then, with that, we can navigate our way through whatever problem it is that we have. So the first thing is we need to stand in awe of God. And then, David has said, do not sin. There is a strong temptation to give in to sin when we're going through a troubling time. Even though we may not state it out loud, we kind of have the idea, you know what, I'm going through a tough time, so excuse me if I commit a sin. I am excused because you don't understand the things that I'm going through. I don't have to understand what you're going through. We're not supposed to sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, little children, I write these things to you so that you may not sin. Now, if we do sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, but the bar that is set for our Lord is do not sin. Satan knows how to tempt us. And he knows that for some of us, all he has to do is shake us up like that snow globe. Or the way Jesus put it with Peter, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Satan knows all he has to do is upset our lives just a little bit, and we will sin. No, keep your head about you. Remember who God is. Remember who you are. Do not sin. Now, as we're looking at this passage here in verse 4, be angry and do not sin. Does that sound familiar to you? That verse is quoted by Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. And it continues, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Satan is behind all of this. We're smart enough to realize that he's behind the temptation. So let's remember who we are. Let's keep our true north. Stay focused on God. Remember that we are not to sin. Then David says, meditate within your heart on your bed. The English Standard Version says to ponder. The King James Version says to commune. It's a blessing that we have people in our lives who are our friends, our close confidants, that we feel that we can go to them and we can talk to them and we can get counsel from them and we can get advice from them. And that's good. It's good that we can do that. And we're going to talk in our 11 o'clock hour about the importance of having other people in our life to help us. But you know, there are some times when we don't need to be going and talking to other people. We need to be sitting and thinking things through ourselves. Think about these things. Meditate within your heart on your bed. Remember, this is an evening psalm. Think about these things. Work through these things. Have that moment. Find that time of quiet self-reflection. And take inventory and see what's really going on. And work that thing through in your own mind. And then verse 4 continues to be still. Habakkuk chapter 2 and at verse 20, the Lord is on his throne. Let all the earth keep silent before him. We even have a short hymn that is based off of that verse. And the idea there of be still, we want to take away from that. That means be quiet in church. Well, no. What it means is calm down. Be calm. There's that phrase that's been going around for a number of years. Be calm and whatever it is you want to add to that, whatever your hobby is. But be calm. God has been telling his people to be calm for a long time now, to be still, to calm down, and to know that God is in control. There are times when it is appropriate for us to act. James chapter 1, verse 22, be doers of the word. But there are also times, brethren, when it's appropriate for us to be calm, to be still, and let God act. Let God take care of it. We are to be still. In verse 5, offer the sacrifices of the righteous. And again, if this is David talking to his enemies, then you need to repent. And you need to live a godly life. And you need to do what the righteous people do. But for us today, the takeaway from this phrase is, don't give up on church. Don't give up on worship. Continue to go. Continue to offer those sacrifices. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16, the praise that we offer unto God is sacrifice unto Him. The good service that we do to one another and to others is sacrifice that is offered unto God. Continue to offer up that service and that sacrifice to God. Don't quit going to church when you're going through troubles. And put your trust in the Lord. That's the last thing David says there in verse 5. Put your trust in the Lord. You and I may not have all the answers. I don't. You don't. Deuteronomy 29, 29 still says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. There are some things we're just not going to know. So we don't have all the answers, but we know who does. And we can trust in God. We can trust that He will continue to care for us as He works in this world to bring about His will. I want to share a verse with you from Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, this is not a refrigerator verse. This isn't a verse that you see quoted very often, but it's right here in this chapter, tucked away in the book of Isaiah, and it shines like a jewel. And we need to know this verse. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and at verse 3. Speaking to God, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Look at that promise. God will keep us in peace, in perfect peace, if we will keep our mind stayed on Him. Find true north. Stand in awe of God and trust in Him. And you'll find your joy and you'll find your peace. It won't make the problems go away, but you'll find your joy and you'll find your peace. To wrap this up, I would emphasize the fact that David's problems didn't go away. He was still in the wilderness and he was still running for his life, but he was able to pillow his head and sleep that night because he had given that burden unto God, and God had replaced that with peace and with gladness, with help, and with joy. If we can follow this, then we can find that in our lives today as well. I've been asking, and I'll ask again, have you found yourself in this psalm? If not, you probably will one day. So remember this psalm is here, and remember the truths that it gives us, the tools that it gives us to help us to find that joy and that peace when we need it most. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful that you are our deliverer. We're thankful that you are the constant source of help in our lives, and that we can call upon you and know that you will answer and you will respond. We pray for those of our number who are going through times of trouble and distress in various different ways. We pray that they would find deliverance, that they would find peace and comfort that comes from you. And help us to never lose faith, but to always remember that you are there to help us when we call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.